Welcome to the Event Hustler Show. I'm Liz King Caruso, and I can't wait to dive into some of the hottest event industry topics in this resource for planners by planners. Let's jump in. All right. I am excited to jump right in today to talk to another Texie Talk team member who is running her own super successful event business and who I have the opportunity to work with really more and more over the last few years. I am excited today to introduce industry and personal friend Sheila Fox to the show. Sheila, hello, hello. Good morning.
Hey, Liz. Great to talk to you today. Thanks for having me on your show.
Of course. I feel like I always say like things like good morning because I'm just in, that's when we're recording. And then I forget people later. Who knows when they're listening? But good morning to you. Thanks for joining. My gosh, I feel like this is one of those episodes I already know going into it, it's going to be hard to keep to 30 minutes because there's so many things to talk about. So much history.
Yes.
But your company, Event Insight, has been over 10 years. How many years?
15.
15. My gosh. Yep. Congratulations.
This year, 15. Yeah. I launched my business in 2007 when I was 27 years old, 5 years out of college. I joke about this all the time, but had I known that I would own my own business 5 years out of college, I would not have a sociology minor. I would have a business minor.
All but these like, things.
Yeah, like so many people in the event industry, you kind of fall into it. And my degree was in communications, and I'd started doing event planning actually in college. And really, when I was about 12, I was in 4-H, and I was the president and had to plan meetings. And so I've really been planning meetings since I was like 12 or 13 years old, with agendas and things like that. But I launched my business after working in an association for 5 years and working in a small organization. We had a staff of 5. You really learn how to do everything.
Yeah.
And I was doing membership. I was doing invoicing and accounts payables and accounts receivables. I was planning big conferences, legislative events. And then people started asking me if I could help them plan their event. And it was a couple of nonprofit fundraisers and things like that. So that's really what planted the seed for me. And then I was able to leave my job in a way that I kept them on as a client for 5 more years. And the day I told my boss that I wanted to launch my own company, he went home and told his wife, who ran an association, and she literally called me the next day to help her. And that group was a client for over 10 years. So it's been a blessing that almost all of my clients have been referrals. And the way I've designed my business, they're annual events, so I don't have to go after clients all the time.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of time to just build those relationships and know the key players. So I'm really grateful for the clients that I get to work with. I mainly work with state associations and nonprofits, and I do events, and I also do association management. I've kind of fallen into that work since about 2016. So I have lots of different email addresses and lots of different business cards because I'm the executive director of a couple different groups.
Yeah, it's like the curse and the blessing of an event organizer is like our skill set overlaps with so many different things. It's like we've decided to put our management skills and our ability to do 1,000 things at once towards this topic of event planning, like whatever event type you're planning.
Yeah.
But that skill set could basically do anything. It's a very like jack of all trades, very good at big picture and small picture. So I'm not surprised that you've gotten drawn into association management as well.
Yep.
I'm also
the chair of human resources for my church right now and the fifth grade coordinator of all of fifth grade for my daughter's school, because they sent out this email that was like, hey, we need someone who can coordinate volunteers. And the woman who did it last year, I know her. So that's how I got on this email, and no one else responded. It was like crickets. I was like, well, since I'm a professional cat herder, this is like another client for me. I can do this. I'm good at delegating. So here I am with the job of fifth grade coordinator to
there you go. Yeah. I mean, talk about scope creep.
Yeah. Scope creep. Yeah. No kidding.
One of the reasons that we met many, many years ago at this point and kind of got to know each other through the power of the internet. Yeah. I've always had this, fondness for Ohio, which is where you're based in Columbus. And I grew up in Ohio. So it's one of those things kind of always stuck out to me, like, oh, Sheila's from Ohio.
Yeah.
And
we met on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like years and years
many
ago.
Many years ago.
Yeah.
And then I remember speaking for one of your PCMA chapters.
Yep.
And we worked together on one of your events, and then 2020 hit, and we actually had you on the podcast back then.
Yeah.
But so much has changed since then. And speaking of scope creep, I guess it was your school, your daughter's school, right? That got you so into Zoom, which is what we call on you for all the time.
Like, yeah.
So, Zoom question. I need to call Sheila.
Yeah. So 2020 hit, and because I had done your Ignite program for independent planners in 2019, we had been meeting on Zoom for like a year before anyone really knew what Zoom was.
Yeah.
And when the pandemic hit, my oldest daughter was in second grade, and I was thinking, like, oh, how are we going to be able to have the kids connect to their teacher? And I was like, of course, the headroom parent for second grade, my daughter's class. And I texted her teacher and said, hey, if you want to connect with the kids on Zoom, you can use my account and I'll let you, you can connect with them every day if you want, however you want. So she ended up meeting with her class every day at 10 o'clock. And we were the only class during that whole rest of the year from March until May that met every day. And that was such a huge touch point for the kids and great for their mental health, to just have that hour or less than an hour that they were with her. Because we didn't even do like remote learning per se until the next school year, I think. I can't really remember. It's all a blur at this point, but and then I'm part of NABO, the National Organization of Women Business Owners, and I loaned them my Zoom account to do some interviews and meetings, and it kind of went from there. And then they asked me to be profiled during one of their meetings, and then PNC Bank reached out and asked me to help them with a VIP event. So I got good at Zoom and became a quote expert just by using it like every day for most of 2020. And now, even after, post COVID, whatever we are now, I still run webinars once a week or so for a client, because we found that when we used to meet in person, that was great, but this hour long education that they need and want is way easier and much more. We have a bigger attendance and more people can participate with it being on Zoom. And it's good for me too, because it eliminates travel. I don't have to, set up the room. And so instead of it being like a half a day out of my work day to coordinate those education sessions, it's like 1 hour of my time, and they're really well received.
Yeah. I mean, that's the smartest use, I think, of virtual, is all that in between stuff that should be happening that keeps your community connected.
Yeah.
But it really doesn't make sense for everyone to take a half day out of the office to drive somewhere and sit there for an hour and then drive home.
Yes.
Perfect use. Zoom, I mean, we've called on you several times for clients, because even if there are more robust platforms out there, which there are, there is still a lot of our clients, they just want Zoom because their members and their whoever it is in their audience, they know Zoom. Zoom became a household name in 2020. So I remember, like, I think it was April 2020. Yeah, it was my nephew's birthday party. It was like right after everything started closing down. And we had his birthday party on Zoom. And it was such a hot mess. It was so horrible. And all these people who had never used Zoom, and I'm not even talking only older generations, just people in general. Yeah. And it was a lot of that. Can you hear me? Is anyone seeing me? You know, that horrible. Yep. But now, you know, people's grandmothers are very familiar with using Zoom, and people's children are very familiar with using Zoom. So it's a platform that makes a lot of sense. So there has been a lot of times where we have clients who come to us with more complex. I mean, obviously I know how to like turn on Zoom, and that's actually how we're recording this podcast, but you know, people are getting pretty fancy with this Zoom thing and using the breakout rooms in creative ways. What are you seeing? I know your clients are obviously still using it. You see more Zoom use than some of these other virtual platforms, right? In your work?
I do, mainly because of the type of event that we're doing. You know, I've working with you, we've gotten to use, you know, event StreamYard and some others, but I have just figured out and understand how it works and have used it from everything from I hosted a baby shower for my friend Bethany in February of 2021. And it was so cool because like our friend from Idaho was able to join and our friend from Boston was able to join. And like that kind of, that could have never happened. You know, they wouldn't have come in just for a baby shower. But, and I also started live streaming my kids' choir concerts and musicals. And that has been really rewarding because I use an app called Camo, and I use my iPhone as the camera, and I got a tripod that you can, you know, use to scan, like pan, because it's really, they want to see the kids' faces. And so Camo is like a $5 a month app that you can pay month to month. So I only like upgrade it when I am going to be doing something like this. And then you can zoom in on the kids and pan and zoom and come in and out. And so it took lots of Googling to figure that all out, but it's been so rewarding for me to be able to use that skill set for grandparents who live in other places to be able to see that experience, see their grandkid in their show, and then record it for people who missed it, or maybe a mom who's a nurse and had to work and didn't get to see it. Like, it just opens up so much more. And I've already talked to our music teacher at Meet the Teacher last week and told her I would do it again. And she already emailed me the date. So I think I'm locked in for my live stream skills for a while now. And I even live streamed like my kids' basketball games during COVID, because we were only allowed to have two people per player in the gym. So I just took my, I created a Facebook group and live streamed the games, and like my parents could watch all the time, and we had friends watch, and it was really cool.
That's awesome. And I mean, some of our corporate clients are really using Zoom to do, like I said, kind of more advanced things. And we've worked with a few clients together where I feel like my personal opinion is like, okay, now we're out of Zoom. Like we can use Zoom, but we probably shouldn't be using Zoom.
Right.
And I know they have Zoom events now, which I think they're building out pretty robust in the future. But right now, I would say it's not the most robust virtual platform out there. What do you think is kind of like the line between this is a great tool and like, okay, now we're getting a little crazy with it? Or am I just crazy?
I think when you have multiple speakers and you, it depends, I guess it depends on, do you want audience interaction? And if so, Zoom is probably the way to go. If you want people on camera, if you want multiple people on camera, if you want, if you want more of like a professional look with like the lower thirds with the titles and things, that's when you would use StreamYard and then like stream it to a platform that's easier and more consumable, like YouTube or LinkedIn Live or whatever. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. And that's a good point, because I think that a lot of our clients are actually more focused on more people on camera these days. And that's why they're even if they were using other virtual platforms, they might be going back to a Zoom because it's important to have the interaction of your audience. So they're not just watching content that they could see anywhere.
Right.
But I think it, yeah, to your point, it's very difficult on the production side to make it look really nice. Like we have some clients where they have like multiple speakers and, you know, there's no green room in Zoom. There's no,
right.
Like there's no great way to transition. You know, we did an event where it was like music, then it goes to a slide, then it goes to a video. That kind of stuff is just so hard to do. I mean, it can be done, but it's so clunky.
Yeah. And the, I'm thinking back through all the things I've done on Zoom. And you also have to rely a lot on the technology and the of what the presenters have. And so many people only have one monitor or one screen and they're joining from a laptop and then they can't find their slides when they go to present and they freak out because, you know, Zoom like moves them and they can't see the chat. And so there's lots of that. And so it always helps to have a rehearsal with the speakers and do a tech run through. But if it's a big conference and there's a lot of moving parts, it's hard to find time to nail all that down. And then, you know, there's scope creep on how many, if you can't get all the people in the same panel at the same time, you have to have multiple tech run throughs with them. So that's a challenge. And then you have to worry about their internet connection. And one time I planned a 2.5 day virtual event. This was in November of 2020. And it was a medical conference. And one of the people who was a presenter was taking it from like the hospital pharmacy. And it was so loud. And you could hear like intercoms and beeping and like people filling prescriptions beside him. And I'm like, what is happening? Why is this person not in a quiet space? And it was so crazy. And it's just like the event planner in me was like sweating. And we had like 300 people online from around the country. And I was just like, this is horrible. Thankfully, he didn't have a lot to contribute to that panel, but I had to mute him constantly.
We had a client once take it from the airport in between flights. And we were like, but you're, and then the flight was late and they ended up, then we had to shift the whole agenda to fit them in later. And we were trying to message all the speakers. This is the stuff that, it's like almost like a level of respect that people don't have for virtual that they do have for in-person. Like if that was an in-person conference, there's no way someone would try to fit it in at the pharmacy, but virtual, it's like almost so convenient. Oh, we've had so many situations like that. And I always am now like obsessed with making sure that the tech run through is in the location where you will be on the day of the event.
Yeah.
And by the way, where is that location? Because, oh my gosh, people just want to do it like in their car. It's crazy.
Yeah. Was it you and I who worked with somebody who was like on vacation?
Yes. It's so funny. I mean, you know, it's convenient. So I guess that's a good thing.
But he's like, I'm not sure how the internet's going to be. And I got to kick my whole family out of the house. And then the other thing is like, people will have a ceiling fan on ahead above them. Oh, yeah. And that's like the most distracting thing ever.
Didn't you write a blog post about just all this craziness?
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah. I have a blog post on Zoom.
Okay. We need to share that.
Pro tips. Yeah. I have two Zoom articles that I've written from just lessons learned.
Actually the last conference that we did together, I think, I don't know if it was the last one or the one before that. I while we were doing the conference, I made a bullet point list in my email of like things I need to talk to people, like things you should not do or things you should do. I guess all these lessons that we learned throughout, but one lesson that I learned working with you that I kind of relearned, right? Cause like with technology, I'm fairly comfortable with like just jumping in and figuring it out and learning. Mm-hmm. But especially with Zoom, for some reason, I think because when we first started having clients ask us to use Zoom, I just wasn't familiar with it for the purposes of like a conference. And so I was really nervous because it was all different things. Like they were asking for like, you know, 2 or 3 days of content, not just like an hour on Zoom. They were asking for breakout rooms, then back to a main room, then back to breakout rooms. Then we're going to break them out differently. We're going to pre-select or we're not. And there were all these little places where I could see that this could go wrong. And I just remember feeling very like, I don't really want to do this because who knows what's going to happen. And it was kind of, it was interesting because it's like the first time I've really been in that seat again, which is, it was important for me to feel that way. And that's when I called on you. I was like, Sheila, I don't know when that first event was, but the first event, I was like, we have this client. This is what they want to do. I know you know how to do it, but I have no clue. And then it was like, when you walked me through it, I was like, oh, okay, this is very easy, very straightforward. I get it. We still involve you in all of our Zoom events just to be safe, because who knows when that thing's going to come up. But it was a good lesson for me to remember that like a lot of planners feel that way a lot of the time. Like for me, it wasn't, but I can see why it's overwhelming to try these new things with your clients when you're on the hook to make it work. And they're the ones who are texting you the whole time, wondering why something's not working. Even when you know what you're doing. I mean, there's been plenty of times where like, it's just not working, or it just didn't work the way it worked last time. I don't know. There's an update or something.
Or there's a storm and where one of your speakers is and they lose their power.
Yeah.
And like, that's happened multiple times. One thing I think we've learned is you have to really set client expectations at the beginning that if they want it to look like a TV show, it's not going to look like a TV show on Zoom.
Right.
If they want it to be interactive and affordable and easy onboarding of people to join, Zoom is a good thing. I think the key for using breakouts in Zoom is the setup of them before the event starts and really going through all the little settings in the back end to make sure that you have it the way you want it. I thought it was neat when we worked together that last event, how the presenters used a breakout room as a green room. And then I'd never really thought about that, but that we had the event open and live, but the presenters were in like a green room as was it just a breakout room. And then when they were ready to start, they just left that room and came into the session and did their thing so they could talk ahead of time. So I think that is a good kind of pro tip to use for future. But again, if you have a half day long Zoom link, it's hard to do that when speakers are jumping on and off.
Yeah.
So it can't do all the things, but it's pretty robust and it continues to get better. I think one thing we've learned together is that it's important to have like a back channel communication and not rely on the chat. Cause I'm always like paranoid. Definitely. I'm going to send the chat to the wrong person.
I do it every time, every single time.
Instead of every, you know, I send a note to everyone that like you're on in 10.
Yeah.
And so we've used our groups have used WhatsApp and Slack and text thread. And that's when it's helpful to have multiple screens. Like I use 3 monitors in my office. The way my desk is set up now versus pre-pandemic, it is a lot different because I need all the monitors, all the lights and external speakers. And I've really upped my game with technology, but that back channel communication is clutch because you can't, reasons we talked, you don't want to send something in the chat. You don't want to accidentally like say something inappropriate.
Not that we ever say anything inappropriate.
Not that ever happens. No.
Sheila is the queen of memes. So I'm always looking for like the best meme to send you in the middle of a production. Like, you know, it's usually involving pulling my hair out, but.
Yes. Memes are my love language.
I love that you say that, by the way. I think that needs a book. That memes are your love language.
Yes, I have. And if I'm ever trying to like cheer someone up, like this morning, I have a friend who has to have a a medical procedure done today. And I know he's a little worried about it. So I'm like, oh, I have to send him a few cat memes. So I'm like, it's 6:30 a.m. I'm like scrolling my phone to like text him cat memes to cheer him on.
But, it works yep. very well. Yeah, that back channel communication is so important, and setting the expectations is another huge one. Just letting people understand that the technology is something that, you know, it's there, we understand how to use it, but there are so many failure points outside of our control. Yeah. And everything is built for a specific purpose. Zoom is not built for that super produced, and I wouldn't be surprised if in a year they have a basically like StreamYard built into their platform, but at yeah. least as of the recording of this in August of 2022, not yeah. the most robust on that side. Another thing I thought of when you were talking about is the back channels. It's super critical to have the back channels and to have like a coordination of one good back channel. I think an event that we worked on a few times ago where there were just like, we had one for our team, then they wanted one, like the client side wanted one and another. And then they were just like sending all these messages. There were multiple times where I kind of like got messed up because someone was like texting me right when I was supposed to be doing something to remind me to do yep. something. And I was in the middle of doing it, but then I had to like stop to go see what I was like, are we pausing or something? And so really knowing like how you're going to use those back channels in between for all the funny memes and chatter, but like, you know, what are we using these channels for? I think is super important too.
Right.
So you're not like messing yourselves up.
Definitely.
But anyway, so all these Zoom tips, we also have to share your blog about this, but it's yeah. one of these things. I mean, we worked together in person, which was really nice. We worked together in the consulting program, but then to be able to like have this relationship where we just call on each other when there's an event that we need support for has been so helpful. I mean, it just gives so much peace of mind. So I mean, hopefully I've thanked you off air.
Oh yeah.
On the podcast.
I think it's so great. Cause for a long time, I felt like as an independent planner with my own business, like I just felt like I was out here on my own on this like island where yeah. I didn't have anyone I could call on to help me when I needed events. And then I talked my friend Anne into starting her own business. And now she works with us, which is awesome. And I just feel like I have, from when we did Ignite together, and just getting to know more people who are independent. And now with the more online and virtual events, it's so much easier to work together.
Yeah.
Because we're all scattered across the country. It's just easier to work together, and we work together a lot more. And also, one thing I wanted to say that I've learned through these last 2.5 years is if you're running a Zoom event or a virtual event, you need at least two planners behind the scenes, if not three or four, depending on how big it is.
Definitely.
I know lots of times there's at least three of us working an event because there'll be two different sets of breakouts or different, we all have a different role because one person can't be running the music and cueing the speakers and putting the message in the chat. I mean, we all have like assignments, which I think is really helpful to have all that planned ahead of time.
Yeah.
But you definitely need, you can't do it yourself.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it's so nice. And another thing I think about is the different time zones. Like you and I yeah. are on the same time zone, but we work with Jennifer, who we just did a podcast with. We work with people on the West Coast. So like if there's an outage in New York, it doesn't necessarily impact all the planners who are on a particular session, which is really right. helpful too, you know, just to have like, and also for communicating with clients, we can be on a lot right. more. Someone's always available, which is nice.
But it also is key to make sure that everybody knows in like the call sheets, what yeah. time zone it's in. So Jennifer, who's on Central Time, knows to show up at yeah. an hour earlier.
Poor Jennifer. She knows I'm like horrible with translating time zones. So she just does it in mine. And then her whole life is probably screwed up working with when she works.
She should just live in Eastern time for us.
I know. I'm like, just move your whole family. Just decide that school's a different time. And Move everyone to Eastern time. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been so nice getting to know you over the years. I'm so glad to be able to feature you on the podcast. And actually, our next podcast episode will be with Anne, who's also been working with us. You introduced me to her like back at an in-person event. And now she's one of those we call on. She's helped produce Texi Talk. She's helped produce a lot of our client events with you, of course. So it's just so nice, like the way that all of these relationships keep blossoming. And mm-hmm. I remember when I came to speak at a conference in your hood and you invited me over to your house and like your parents were there and your girls yeah. were there. And I was like, this is the life, like not just colleagues, like, okay, we know of each other through Twitter. We're right. really getting to know, like, it's fun. We do these Zoom calls and we do our Ignite calls every month and like the kids come on and I didn't even have kids back then.
And then I came and spent the night at your house when we did our retreat.
Which you need to do again, by the way.
Anne and I have been friends for like 20 years because she was my convention services manager at a hotel that I did an event for a long time. And she's moved around and has a hotel side of experience, but because she's in my community in Columbus, we help each other with live events, which is awesome. So she'll be like my day one of my conferences. She comes and helps me with registration. And because her background is in hotels, like she is a food and beverage and contract expert. And anytime I'm worried about food or like picking a menu and making sure I have enough food, I'm just like, hey, will you look at this BEO and make sure that it looks okay? And she'll give me my feedback. And in the same regard, Anne hates to do name tags. And I don't really mind it because I've been doing it forever. So she pays me to do her client name tags. I pay her to help me come on site. And we do an event at a hotel that she used to work at for a long time. And so she knows the staff, she has all their numbers in her phone, and she can just be like, I'm going to text so-and-so and ask him to refresh that break. I'm like, sweet, go ahead. Thanks.
So, yeah. That's so important is to find what you are good at and to be able to fit it with all the other people. I mean, essentially this whole series we're doing about the Texi Talk team is that it's like, okay,
right.
I need help with like the Zoom. I don't feel as strong with. So like Sheila fits perfectly in that position. Yep. You know, there's all these little roles that like, there's no way I could do myself. First of all, just because of capacity, but also there's just so many things I'm good at and most of them I'm not good at. So then we're like, okay, we need someone who manages community here. We need social media person over here, you know, and it kind of all pieces together. And it's really nice that because we all have our own businesses, everyone on our team technically has their own businesses and their own projects and their own things going on. So it does, there's not a stress to like fulfill full-time hours. You know, it's just kind of like when I need you, if you're available, we work together. And if not, I'm lost. So I'll just have to give up the client, but you know, we just kind of like piece it together as we can. And it works really well.
Yeah. And the other thing I love about it, and I think this is partly because we're in the hospitality industry, is that we are very collaborative and not competitive. I think that's so key in knowing now that I have a community of colleagues that I can count on, who can help me, if I would have like my biggest worry is always like, what if I am sick and I can't go to my event?
Right.
What if I had COVID for like 2.5 weeks, a couple weeks ago. Thankfully I didn't, my summer's kind of slow, but, I've only had like one instance where I woke up really sick and couldn't do an event. And thankfully the board of that group stepped up. But now I know that I, you know, my community of people that I can, my event planner ride or die is getting bigger and appreciative of that.
I think we need a meme for that. We need a meme. More memes.
And also, we keep each other sane through sending each other memes about every day. So yeah,
that is definitely true. Well, it's like also the perfect transition to our next episode. So if you guys are listening live, like this just came out and you're listening, you'll have to wait till next week when we release Anne's episode. But she's next up on our list and can't wait to introduce you to her. But Sheila, thank you for introducing me to Anne, but more importantly, for being a good friend, personal friend, and industry partner. It's been so great getting to know you over the years. See what Twitter was good for something.
Yes, it was.
It's actually good for a lot of things.
Twitter now, but
yeah.
I thank Twitter for connecting me to you for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I hope you have a wonderful day. I know you're very busy. We didn't even get to talk about half the things I wanted to talk about, but this was super helpful, I'm sure, for all the people who are listening. And we'll just have to have you on again.
Okay, happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
All right. And to all of you who are listening, we will be back with another episode next week where we'll be talking to Anne Hollins and learning more about her company and the role that she plays with Texie Talk. So be sure to join us. And until the next time, hustle hard, everyone.